Welcome back. In this video, we are going to show you how you can make your player run automatically. So to do this, we need to do a few things. We need to first make the game world around the character scroll across by itself. That includes the background, obstacles, and the platform. And we're going to have to make our player run forward by itself. So let's do that step by step. Let's start by making the world move by itself. So the world consists of the background, the platform, and the obstacle. To make it move by itself, we can define a bullet behavior. And a bullet behavior makes the object move in a straight line, just like a bullet. So to do that, you can click on the platform, for example, and you can go into your behaviors. And you can see our solid behavior is stored here. We can now add a new behavior.
And I'm just going to search here for bullet.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So that's for one of them. Let's do the same for all of them. So
obstacle.
Let's make that move by itself. Let's give that bullet behavior and our background. So previously we've locked our background. We might have to unlock it temporarily.
Or we can cheat.
Okay.
We can use our objects tab.
Yes. So that's another use for that little window over there. Cool.
So we're just going to add the same behavior again, bullet.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I
think that's it. So let's try run this and see what happens. Cool. So a few things that are happening right now. Our game world is sort of scrolling right to the right off the screen and it sort of disappears. So we're going to have to fix that a little bit. And the first thing we want to fix is probably the direction of scrolling. If we want our character to move forward, which is towards the right, we're going to want our game world to move towards our left. And to do that, what we can do is rotate the direction of the bullet behavior. And to do that, we will need to go into the events sheet. So let's introduce the whole concept of events. The event sheet allows you to basically define the game's logic. So for example, what happens when one object collides with another object? What happens when, for example, at every frame of the game? Or what happens when, you know, the player leaves the screen?
If you've accidentally closed your event sheet, you can always just find it by going under your projects tab and opening up the event sheet from here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool, so let's start by adding our first event. And let's just go add event. And you can see that it will give you a variety of objects to attach, well, to add events for. So let's just start by going onto system. So these are the system events, for example, when a timer runs out, when our game first loads. So we're actually going to look for something that will fire when our layout first opened.
Okay, so we're going to be looking for on start of layout, so that should be that one.
Yep, so this event will trigger, it will trigger this sort of block of code as soon as you open the game. So after adding the event, we want to add a few actions that will run once the event is triggered. So we can go add action. And to add an action, first of all, you need to choose the object that you want to add an action for. So, for example, let's go on the block, which is our platform. Cool. That's next. And within the actions menu, you can either add actions for the object itself, for example, the angle of it, the appearance of it, or you can add actions for the behaviors, for example, the bullet behavior.
So what we're going to do is we're going to change the angle that this bullet or block travels in. So we're going to set angle of motion. So select that, hit next. And we want it to basically go in the opposite direction. So to do that, we're just going to flip it around by 180 degrees.
Yep, and just be aware here that this is actually changing the direction it's moving, the angle of the direction it's moving, not the angle of the actual object itself. So we don't expect to get an upside down platform. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
So let's do that. And let's do the same for the other objects. So again, we go into obstacle, set angle of motion 180 degrees, and the background. So you can add as many actions as you want for each event. And just one more thing we need to tweak in our bullet behavior. If we go into layout again.
Okay.
Cool. So right now when we change the angle of the bullet, it's actually going to try change the angle of our actual object as well, which is something we don't want to happen. So let's stop that from happening. So again,
just click on the object you're going to pick off and head down to the properties section of your bullet behavior. And we want to say the set angle to no.
Yep. So this prevents it from, if you look at the explanation for this property right on the bottom, this prevents it from setting the object's angle, its orientation, to the direction it's moving.
So it'll stop the upside down objects, as Ming was talking about.
Mm-hmm. So let's do the same for the background and the obstacle.
And set that to...
Cool. And let's try running this. Great. Now you can see that our objects are moving the correct direction, but there's still something wrong with the game here. You can see that our game world eventually moves out of the screen. And that's not what we want, because we want the screen to be continuously running and to actually continuously wrap around so that it will simulate a forever moving background. And let's fix that. All right, so to fix this, we're going to want to check whether our background has left the screen. And when it has left the screen, we want to basically move it back into the screen so that it appears to the player that the background is just continuously scrolling infinitely. And let's just think about the logic here.
Okay.
To show you, to help out, we're going to unlock the background.
Oops, that was the wrong button. that's the unlock button. Invisible.
All right, and let's just simulate the background scrolling just by dragging it across the screen.
So this is basically what's happening through the game.
Mm-hmm.
The background basically moves across like this. And as you can see, we're reaching the end of the background. So when half the background is hanging out from, the back of the game,
mm-hmm.
we want to quickly snap it back to this without the player noticing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when half the width of the background is behind the game, bring it back to where we started. So bring it back to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound?
Yep, that sounds all right.
Okay.
So let's lock the background again. Just
put that back to where it
back
was.
Back to zero.
And lock.
Cool. So if we go into an event sheet, let's add a new event. And let's add an event specifically for the background. So instead of going to system, let's go on to the tiled background. Cool. And within the tiled background, there's a whole bunch of events related to the background specifically. And the one that we're interested in is checking the position of the background, and that would be under the size and position header. And there are two positions you can check, X or Y. X being the horizontal position of the object, and Y being the vertical position. Because our object is scrolling horizontally, we're going to want to compare X.
Yep.
So let's do that. So the condition we want to check is whether or not the background has left the screen at an amount that equates to half the size of the background itself.
Yep.
So let's first of all change the comparison operator.
And we're gonna go with less than or equal to, because mm-hmm. So if you just remember the way the coordinate system works, as the background moves, its position will get its x value for its position will get lower and lower.
Mm-hmm. Because so it's moving to the left. So it's going right. Negative and more negative.
Yep.
Which is why we actually need to check now a negative value. So first of all, the number we want to check against is the width of the tiled background. And to do that, we can actually use self. So self denotes the itself, basically.
Yep.
self.width. And that basically gets the current width of the object. That saves you from having to hard code or type in an explicit value in case, you know, you change the size of your background. And we want to halve that.
So
divide that by two. Yep. So that basically is halve our entire background. And because it's going to left, it's a negative value.
Okay. So we're just going to add a negative sign there.
Yep, because the X position is sort of negative. And let's press done. Cool. So that's our event. This event will trigger when the position of it has left the screen by a certain amount, which is half its own width. And now we need to do an action. So what we want to do here is once that happens, we want to, if you remember, move our background back into view.
Yep. So the action we're going to add is again related to our background.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do is set its position.
Yep. That's right.
So
we scroll down, size and position. Yep. And we want to set position here.
We can actually what we can do instead of saying set position is set X.
Because, when you set position, you have to set both positions. But we're only interested in the X position right now. So, so 0 is basically its default position. So let's set it to 0.
Cool. Should we try running that?
Yeah, let's try running that. Cool. So it's moving, and it keeps moving, as you can see. Yeah,
perfect.
Cool.
And this is also the same reason why we made the background twice the width of the...
Mm-hmm. Because if we made it the same width as the device screen, the background will just move straight out of the screen instantly without anything to follow it.
Yep.
Great.
Okay. So that's now the background done.
Yeah, that's the background done. So let's just run the game one more time to see what's wrong. Okay. So you can see that, yes, our game world is moving fine, but our character is sort of being dragged along with it and getting left behind.
Yep.
And we can't really play the game at this point.
Okay. So we need to fix that.
Yeah. So we want to be able to, follow the character. And to do that, we need to make the character automatically run on the platform continuously as the world's running, moving backwards. So again, one way is to get the player to continuously hold down the right arrow key so the player is continuously moving.
That sounds annoying.
Yes, that sounds very tedious. So we're going to do that for them. And we can do that by simulating the player moving forward. Cool. So to do that, let's add an event for the player. So let's go add event, player. Cool. And that's not what we want to do. Let's start that bit again. Because the player is the... That's to check whether it's on the floor to move it.
Yes, we add an event to the player.
Oh, yeah. Okay, jokes. Okay, let's do that again.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing we want to do is add an event for the player. So let's go add event. Let's choose the player. Cool. And what we want to do is check whether the player is on the platform. Because if the player is on the platform, it's going to get dragged behind with the platform. We don't want that to happen. And we want it to actually move forward. So let's check when the player is on the platform.
So we want to check.
Player's on the floor. Okay. Yeah. Cool. And let's go next. So this condition triggers whenever it's touching the floor. So let's add an action to it. If our player is on the floor, let's make it run.
Okay.
So again, let's add an action for the player. And let's go on to scroll down to the platform behavior. So we're adding an action for the platform behavior. And we can simulate the control in this case. Press next. And this is the control that we want to simulate. In this case, we want to simulate going right.
That's correct.
Yep.
Done.
Cool.
So we run that now.
Let's try run that. Our player is running, but...
Maybe we should move the object out of the way.
Yes, let's move the object out of the way. Let's move it off the screen somewhere around here. Yep.
So even if it's off the screen, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You just won't see it. It's still there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep,
so it's running.
It's sort of running slower than the screen a little bit, so we want to check the velocity, check the speed on the player. Yeah.
Let's do that.
To make sure that our character is running at the same speed of the world, as the world, we will need to make sure that all the speeds are consistent. So let's just check the speed of our player.
So that's
330. And what's our 400. Let's just make everything 300 for now. Cool. So let's start by setting our platform speed to 300. Our player speed to 300.
So this is our player max speed, which is a little bit different from speed, I guess, because it needs to accelerate to that speed. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to see the acceleration. We want it to happen immediately. So let's just bring this up to 10,000.
Yep, sounds good.
And we want to do the same for deceleration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
And we also need to do the obstacle, even though the obstacle is outside the thing for now.
It'll be important later.
Mm-hmm. Let's make that 300 as well.
And the background.
Oh, yeah, and the background.
Mm-hmm.
300.
Cool. So let's run that and see what happens. Cool. So our player is running at the same speed as everything else.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I guess let's just make... I'm just going to stretch this out a bit so we get a little bit more space to play with our stuff.
Yep.
There we go. Until we can make our own platforms.
Yep. All right, let's try run that again. Something you notice is that our background is actually running the same speed as our platforms. Something we want to do is called a parallax effect, and you see that in a lot of games where your background is actually moving at a different speed from your platform or your player. And that's a given effect that your background is actually further away than everything else. So let's try that out and see what happens. So we can drop the speed of our background down to something like 40.
40?
Yep. And cool, let's run that again and see what happens. So now you see that our background is actually moving a lot slower than our platform. And it gives the effect that, you know, the background is quite far away, which is what we want. Great. Hold up. Cool. All right. So, okay. So by default, because we've added a platform behavior to our character, we can actually still control the character left, right, and jump. We want to actually constrain this down to just being able to jump, make the character jump. So what we'll do is we'll prevent the user from being able to use the keyboard controls. So first of all, let's click on the object, and let's go onto default controls and drop that down to no. So that tells it not to attach the keyboard to the character by default. And we're going to manually specify the key bindings in the event sheet.
Okay. So if I try to run this now, I basically have no control of it. So I can't go left or right, or it's going right, but I can't jump either, which is not good.
Not good. In case, you know, once we have obstacles in, we can't avoid them. So let's add the ability to jump again.
Okay.
So we go into the event sheet. First of all, we want to check whether or not a key is pressed. When a key is pressed, then we make a jump.
Okay.
So let's add an event.
So we're going to add an event and try and attach it to the keyboard object here.
Actually, cancel that. We need to add the keyboard.
Oh, it's going to. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we need.
We can go to the event sheet and then just bring it back to if you want.
Yeah, we'll go to the event sheet first.
And then we can be like, the keyboard's not here.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
Start from the event sheet.
Okay.
Okay. So now we need to be able to capture the moment the user presses a key and make the character jump when that happens. And to do that, let's go add an event. Yep. But as you can see that there isn't actually a keyboard object in there. But that's okay. We can fix that. Let's add the keyboard object into our game.
So let's get back out of this and pop back over to your layout. And just right-click on your layer as though you're going to add a new object. I know this is technically not an object, but it's still an object for Constructor.
Yeah, it's still an object. it's not your game object, but it's, you know, capturing the controller.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So we're going to add a keyboard object here.
Mm-hmm. And go insert.
Insert.
Because, you know, it's just a controller, you're not going to see it appear on your layout. But it's there.
And if you want to check that you actually added it, it'll be in your projects tab. So there you go. Object types, keyboard.
Cool. So we go back to our event sheet now. We can go add event and we can go add keyboard. Great.
So what you'll notice is there's a couple of options here. There's Keys Down and there's Anki Crest, which both sound pretty similar. However, there's actually a slight difference between them. Anki Pressed will only trigger once when you actually press the key. So for example, if I hit the key A, it'll press once. Anki Down, if I press and hold the key, it'll keep firing that event as fast as it can, I guess. What we want right now is Anki Pressed because we only want it to jump
once. Right? Yeah. Yep. Cool. And you have to choose a key. Let's attach that to Z for jump.
Okay.
Cool. So we just press Z and press OK. And press done.
Done.
So when the Z key is pressed, we can do something.
So add an action.
Yep. So the something we want to do is a player jumping. So let's click on player. And let's go down to the platform actions. And we can simulate a control. And instead of simulating move right, we can now simulate jump.
Cool. Done.
So let's run that. So now if we press the Z key, we should be able to jump. And that's looking pretty good. Great. So now our response to our Z key being pressed and the player will jump. On some devices, for example, your smartphone or tablet, you don't have a keyboard. So you want to do the same when the screen is pressed. So to do that, let's add another condition that could trigger. So, you know, we could either add another event that captures the touchscreen and then do the jump. But to save code, we can do it on the same event. First of all, we need to add the touch object. Like the keyboard object, we also need to add
a touch object. Okay, mm-hmm. So just drop back into your layout,
mm-hmm.
Insert a new object, like your keyboard object, and you probably already noticed this earlier.
Touch.
Yep. Insert.
Cool. And let's go back to our event sheet.
Over there. So now that we've added our touch object in, mm-hmm. we want to also use it as a jump control. So let's head back over to our event sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to add it to the same event as our keyboard event that we created earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So select the keyboard event and right click. And what we want to do is make it that either one of these events will trigger the jump action.
Mm-hmm.
So before we add another condition, we want to say make this an or block.
Mm.
So it gives us the option of using either or.
Well, so basically, either the keyboard is pressed or the touch object is triggered, which is, the person touching the screen.
And you'll probably see nothing happen when you say make or block. But if you right click, you'll now notice that this or block thing is selected.
Mm-hmm.
While we're here, let's add the condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's touch. Related to our touch object.
Mm-hmm. And we want to capture the event when the user touches any of the any part of the screen. So we'd look for on any touch start. So this fires as soon as the screen's touched.
Yep. Done.
Cool. And that's all we need to do to now support a touch screen. So we run the event. Let's run the game. I'm actually on a touch screen laptop right now. So I'm going to touch the screen and the player is jumping.
You'll have to trust us that we're touching the screen.
Yes. Cool.
Okay, let's go back.
So that's done. All right, so let's just recap. So we made our background, we made our game world scroll, we made our player run forward automatically, and then we've limited the player to only be able to jump. And while we were making the whole game world scroll, we also added a parallax effect to make it seem as if the background was further away from the rest of the world. Before we carry on with the next few videos, we're going to make a slight naming change in the layers. So if you head on over to layers, we're going to rename our foreground layer game, just to make things a little easier to understand later on. To rename a layer, simply right click on the layer and press rename. And I am just going to call this layer game. Now we're ready to carry on. The next couple of videos will show you how you can generate your platforms automatically for the player to run on, as well as the obstacles for the player to crash into. But they'll also show you how you can add some nifty features such as being able to dash through the obstacles and some sort of scoring system.
But that's going to be all from us. We're going to pass you on to Alyssa and Jason, who are going to guide you through how to do all those things.
Oh, see you guys next time.
See you guys.